The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 25th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to the disciples, "Then the kingdom of heaven will be like this. 10 bridesmaids took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, all of them became drowsy and slept. But at midnight, there was a shout, 'Look, here is the bridegroom. Come out to meet him.' Then all of those bridesmaids got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise replied, 'No, there will not be enough for you and for us. You had better go to the dealers and buy some for yourselves.' And while they went to buy it, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him into the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the other bridesmaids came also, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he replied, 'Truly, I tell you, I do not know you. Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour.' The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ." You may be seated. Grace and peace to you, dear people of hope. Grace and peace. So this is another parable from Matthew that may leave us shaking our heads, wondering, where is the good news? Where is the new life that we're looking for? And you're not alone if in hearing that today you kind of began to wonder. That might have been your first response. Here at Hope, we call our stewardship committee by another name. We call it the Gratitude and Generosity Team. Today, as we receive and bless our pledge cards, our commitments for the coming year, the Gratitude and Generosity Team teams up with me for a dialogue sermon. So we got together 2 times in the last few weeks to study the scripture and to write our sermon, and we shook our heads and wondered just these questions. Where's the good news? Where is the new life? And then we wondered, with a fair bit of anxiety, how does this fit with giving? And what does it have to say about generosity? So let me offer some context for our readings today, and then we'll get into some conversation. Remember that this parable is the first of 3 that are nestled together in the very middle of Holy Week Jerusalem. Today's asks, are you prepared? Are you alert? Are you ready? And then comes the one asking, are you using your talents and your gifts? And finally is the one that says, are you seeing where I am? That's the one where the folks are asking the king, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or naked or in prison? And remember also that in the telling of this story, it's Holy Week. And there's some intense anxiety that's going on in the city at this time. Everything is disrupted. And then remember that years later, when the writer of Matthew is writing this all up, he's looking back on that story of Holy Week when Jesus died, but he's also looking around to the community around him, to what's going on in Matthew's time. Some similar anxiety, some similar intensity. The temple has been destroyed. The society in his time is divided. It's conflicted. It's heavy. Probably weary, weighed down. Does that sound familiar to anybody? It does a little. It does. So Gratitude and Generosity Team, could you share some of your worries and anxieties, not just yours, but ones for the world, the worries and anxieties that you sense in our time?
Well, I think a major worry that we have today is just war, especially the issue with North Korea, the possibility of nuclear war, war in the Middle East, war throughout all places around the globe, and the misery and pain that causes.
We worry about climate change. We worry about increasing pollution due to relaxing government standards.
worries about immigration, those folks who come undocumented here in our own country and globally. And I personally know a family that came from another country and has not seen their family in 18 years and cannot go back.
Worry about our health concerns and the concerns of health in our loved ones, dealing with grief and loss. And for many people, worrying about having access to medical or mental health care.
And I worry, I think we all worry, about gun violence and mass shootings. That is a real concern for us right now.
And I'm worried and concerned and distressed at the seemingly relentless cascade of stories about public people we admire and trust turning out to have betrayed that trust in any number of ways, but chiefly for me, the stories about sexual abuse and assault from prominent people.
I think for the students in our midst, worried about classwork, exams, overwhelming student debt. Are they going to be able to get a job after they graduate to pay that off?
We have fears about never having enough. Will we be able to pay the bills? Will we have enough money to be able to retire?
Thank you. Thank you. So let's bounce back to the text, and then we'll come back to more conversation. Remember that in Matthew's gospel, there's this whole arc that's going on. It begins with that family tree that invites and includes outsiders and even women. Remember that the way that Matthew involves and values the small seeds, how we hear again and again from Jesus this welcoming and inviting and holding of those with little faith. That comes up a number of times in Matthew's gospel. You have little faith. And the way at the cross, it's an outsider. It's a centurion who says, "This is truly the Son of God." All that happens in Matthew's gospel. Jesus isn't done yet. Jesus isn't done yet. In Matthew, that is a strong, strong theme. God isn't done. God is making all things new. We also often hear today's gospel and imagine this big door crashing shut. You can almost hear it when I was reading it before, this big door crashing shut on those who are called foolish. That always strikes me as hard to understand. I wonder about a bridegroom, a savior, who stays with those who are left alone. Those who are not prepared. Maybe God is in both places, in the wedding banquet and waiting with those who are still coming. Maybe God is in both places. Maybe God only really celebrates when everyone, when all creation is finally, finally at the party. You know, wedding banquets back in that time were a big deal, a very big deal. The banquet was large, it was community oriented. Everybody was invited. And when it was time, the attendants, the bridesmaids, would light the way, accompanying the bridegroom through the dark night to the wedding hall. Our story today has these bridesmaids, and it's all about their preparations. So could you reflect on these bridesmaids and what this story brought up for you?
Well, it is a story about being prepared, and I think that's a comfort to me because in these times, people will say, the end is near, but God has told us that we do not know. No one knows when the end is near. And we also, at first, when we were looking at this story, felt that God was closer to the wise bridesmaids. But then we wondered, is that really true, and what about the others?
We thought, well, why don't you just share? Why the wise and the unwise, they could share their lamps. And that leads me to another passion of mine is that we are all here together. God called all of us together to meld our gifts, our strengths, so that we might serve him in a better way.
I think all of the bridesmaids were kind of foolish. They could have turned their lamps way down while they were dozing, and they probably would have had enough oil.
I looked at the story kind of from the insider-outsider perspective and wondering, even the traditions that I love here so much at Hope, how much do folks coming who are new to the tradition, the Lutheran tradition, feel inside or outside? And I'm hopeful that we are doing some things that aren't maybe not so traditional and helping us stretch in that regard.
Thank you. So Marty read our first reading today from Amos. Our lives are about practicing, and Amos has a lot to say about practicing. How we are to be, practicing how we are to act. In his letter from Birmingham Jail, it's Dr. King who picks up on the words from Amos, "Let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream." So Amos, and really I would say Dr. King, are critiquing our way of practice. It often, all too often, gets sort of hidden away. We never actually get out of ourselves to do something, but we just kind of keep that hiddenness. So here are three questions, and let's think about them together. How do you practice authentically living God's call? How do you stay alert, engaged in these anxious times? And how do you participate in justice and righteousness that flows?
Well, for me, hospitality is really a big part of how we witness our faith to others, and this congregation does a great job of doing that, but we can also be more and more intentional.
And I stay alert by remembering God's promise to us that we are saved through grace and that He does provide and gives us enough. There is enough, and that helps me through anxious times.
And those questions elicited for me this idea of generosity and gratitude and how they work together in giving. And I realized when I first started coming here a few years ago, and the welcome all of you gave me, I felt like for the first time in my life, I feel like I'm home with family and a church community. And I pledged for the first time in my life. And I've discovered what I've named the beautiful mystery is the more I give, the more I realize I have abundance in my life and I can give more, and it's incredibly spiritually meaningful.
I'm trying to develop a more active prayer life, both alone, praying alone, and praying with others.
First of all, I center myself, which helps somewhat calm the anxiety. And then I've gotten involved in the Isaiah Movement, which is, for those of you who don't know, an organization that deals with all kinds of issues related to people. And most recently, there's a movement towards helping undocumented immigrants coming into the Twin Cities. And one thing that Hope is doing, Isaiah is trying to get 6,000 conversations happening throughout the metro area and the state to get folks more on board with issues related to immigration and even to the extent of getting to caucuses. So you'll hear more about that later, and there's information about those listening sessions happening.
And the question about living authentically, I think about how my spiritual faith is so important to me. And in my work as a clinical psychologist at the VA hospital, I've seen, and there's a lot of research to support, that integrating a veteran's spiritual faith into their recovery work has beautiful results. So I make it a practice of every veteran I work with to inquire and ask those questions about their spiritual faith and trying to integrate it.
I think a way we can participate in justice and righteousness is by contributing and giving to our social programs here at church. And if it's something you can't do individually, make a difference. By doing it together, we can make a difference.
Thank you. We also heard today about the beautiful text from Revelation 21, the text that is our theme for this gratitude and generosity time. Behold, I make all things new. We sang it. We've heard it. It is in us. Behold, I am making all things new. So finally, what do you visualize when you hear this scripture and imagine our world, our community of faith, and all things indeed being made new?
when she asked us this question in our meetings, the first image I had is the hearing families and children's laughing and college students, a whole group out by our hopefully future new bread oven, and this vitality of community and the neighbors coming.
Well, I think a very new thing is that we have 23 new members in our congregation, and the work that we are doing out in the neighborhood and trying to be an inviting place.
I imagine caring for the children in the community through the Sheridan story, and also for the children here by the building of the children's play area in the courtyard.
And Pastor had also asked us to think about what's new in our lives personally. And the first thought I had was how my mom had passed away this summer. And how since then my dad has become more sweet and tender in a way he hadn't been before.
There's a lot of hopefulness, again, with the sanctuary movement that our church has joined in with four other churches in the neighborhood, Catholic, Baptist, Congregational, and it's just exciting to see the energy of people coming together from different faith perspectives and really pushing forward something that some of it we take a risk for doing, and there's just a lot of hopefulness that it's Christ-centered and it's the right thing to do.
And in that theme about the sanctuary movement, that we have a chance here to live our faith and to do what we believe is right, what we believe God calls us to do, even when it does involve, as Anne said, risk. It's a gift.
And last week, if you missed it, you missed a great opportunity. After the 10:30 service, Doug Hartman had invited four local leaders of the community, and we asked them, or he asked them, or we did, what can we do? How can we help in what's going on in your areas? And it was great to learn all the things, well, most of the things that are happening around us and the things that we could contribute.
Thank you. Thank you to each of you. Thank you to our congregation. Just a note of how we will be receiving our pledges today. If you have brought something with you, that's wonderful. And if you want to grab a card, there's some at the doors and things like that as well. During the offering time, simply lay that in the offering plate, and we'll be praying for and blessing those commitments. Really, our lives, like we said with the kids, our lives are given to us, and our lives we give back to God. God is making all things new. Amen.